Hello and welcome back to the History of the British Isles podcast. This is episode 42, The First King of Wales. Well, it turns out this will be our last episode in Wales. Kind of just crept up on me. We left off last time at the end of the 10th century, and you'd think I'd get at least two episodes out of the 11th century up to the arbitrary date of 1066, or rather the more poignant date in Welsh history, 1064. But no, it turns out there's barely any evidence of what happens in the first 20 odd years of the 11th century. What this means is that I'm scrambling to get books and interviews ready. This all means that this episode will be sort of like episode 33. I'll go through the history and then give a general recap of our Welsh narrative. Anyways, please remember to follow me on Twitter, where I'm at BritishistPod, and join our community Discord server. There will be links to both of those in the description of this episode. Also, if you have any money to spare, please consider donating to my Patreon. All the books I've used for both Wales and Scotland have been 100% patron funded, as is the podcast as a whole. It costs only $1 a month, but it's immeasurably more valuable to the show. If you want to help fund the show, there'll be a link to that in the description of this here episode. Without further ado, let us now begin with the episode. As I just mentioned, there's very little evidence for what happened in the beginning of the 11th century. It appears Dhubarth was ruled by Maredudd's nephews, Cadel and Edwin, before both men died to be succeeded by Cadel's son, Tudor. Up in the north, in Gwynedd, it seems that in the year 1000, the sons of Murwig, the ruler who resisted Maredudd, were deposed by Sinan. It's at this point where the family trees start to get very messy. Sinan was the grandson of Eif, one of the brothers who toppled Dhubarth's hegemony on the death of Huldar. This means that he was the second cousin of the previous rulers. Anyways, it seems Sinan only held the throne till 1003 when he was killed. We don't even know who succeeded him. In fact, there's literally one event recorded in Wales between 1004 and 1018, a raid by Edric Streona, chief baddie of Æthelred the Unready's reign and Earl of Mercia, in 1012. By the end of this period of obscurity, it seems the descendants of Murfa and Finch had been deposed from the throne of Gwynedd by a certain Llywelyn ap Cecil. As with Merfyn Finch himself, we don't know much about the reign of Llywelyn. It appears he was married to Ancard, Maredudd's daughter. This served the dual purpose of integrating Llywelyn with the established order and giving his descendants a claim on the throne of Dhubarth. It also appears this marriage gave Llywelyn some degree of overlordship over Dhubarth because, in 1022, Llywelyn invaded Dhubarth to depose a pretender named Rhain, who was claiming to be the son of Maredudd. It seems Rhain was, in fact, of Irish origin. After defeating Rhain, Llywelyn went about pillaging Dhubarth for all it was worth. This was likely his punishment for those who backed Rhain. The following year, 1023, Llywelyn died. While he did leave a son, he was still a child. This allowed the descendants of Merfyn Finch to reassert themselves, at least for now, under the unambitious Iago ap Idwal. It's at this point where a new power appears in Wales, and one you really wouldn't expect, Glamorgan. In 1023, King Ryderich of Glamorgan conquered Gwynedd and ruled it for a full 10 years. As with the rest of this period, we don't have much details on what actually happened, and the next record regarding Ryderich is recording his death in 1033. Overall, this seems surreal to me. We pretty consistently saw Glamorgan getting beaten up, and now they suddenly enter the arena as a major player? All I can say is that Ryderich must have been quite a guy. Anyways, it seems that the descendants of Merfyn Finch were able to reassert themselves into Dhubarth, while Ryderich's sons, Gruffydd and Rhys, were relegated to mere rulers of Glamorgan. They tried to reassert their control over Dhubarth, but were defeated in battle and repelled. Don't forget about them, though. We'll be hearing much more from them in a bit. Back in Gwynedd, the son of Llywelyn, confusingly also called Gwyfyd, organised a coup in Gwynedd in 1039 and came to the throne. This Gwyfyd, as we'll come to see, was a man of action. He immediately invaded Ceredigion and deposed the king of Dohubarth, Hywel. Gwyfyd then went raiding into England, a thing we'll see him do time and again over the course of our narrative, and defeated Edwin, brother of the Alderman of Mercia, in battle at Rhyd y Gors. However, this left his new gains in Dohubarth open, and Hywel was able to return to power in 1041. Gwyfyd was able to defeat Hywel in battle, but wasn't able to fully reconquer Gwynedd. The following year, 1042, a Viking band, which was likely encouraged and funded by Hywel, was able to capture Gwyfyd. However, this state of affairs was only temporary, and Gwyfyd soon secured his freedom. Hywel himself died in 1044, leading to both Gwynedd and Glamorgan invading. By 1045, Dohubarth was absorbed into Glamorgan. Now facing a strong kingdom to his south, Gwyfyd looked for allies, and boy did he pick a bad one, Sweyn Godwinson. On the surface, Sweyn was a good choice. He was a powerful Anglo-Saxon nobleman and son of Godwin, who is at this point dominating Anglo-Saxon affairs. However, Sweyn wasn't the most stable of allies. Gwyfyd allied him in 1047, and the alliance would only last 1 year, before Sweyn kidnapped a nun and got himself exiled. In future, Gwyfyd's allies would be far better. Also in 1047, an army commanded by one of Gwyfyd's supporters was defeated by the sons of Riderich. In retaliation, Gwyfyd invaded Dohubarth. 2 years later, in 1049, a Viking fleet raided Dohubarth. You'd think this had helped Gwyfyd. However, the sons of Riderich were savvy operators and were able to use the Viking fleet to their advantage. They joined forces with them to raid England. The Bishop of Worcester raised a levy and marched to face them. However, some Welsh troops under his command betrayed him, and the sons of Riderich and the Viking allies took the day. In 1052, Gwyfyd himself raided England, and it seems didn't face much in the way of resistance. The following year, Rhys, the younger of the two sons of Riderich, died. Following this, there seems to have been a short period of peace. Gwyfyd used this opportunity to find himself a proper ally, and in 1055 he allied Elfgar, the son of Alderman of Leofwin of Mercia. This was likely to balance the power of the Godwin clan in England and protect both men from their attacks. As we'll see, Elfgar's death will indeed signal the end to Gwyfyd's power. However, Elfgar was exiled the same year. This was either because he was negotiating with Gwyfyd, or just because the Godwins wanted his land. On being exiled, Elfgar went to Ireland and raised an army of mercenaries before joining up with Gwyfyd for a raid in Herefordshire. They were opposed by Earl Ralph the Timid, Edward the Confessor's nephew, and when you're facing a man with an epithet like that, you know you're going to be in for an easy victory, which is exactly what happened. Elfgar and Gwyfyd's troops routed Ralph's army and subsequently looted the city of Hereford before going back into Wales. Harold Godwinson tried to chase them down, but they were able to evade him. Edward the Confessor, fearing further raids, arranged a peace treaty in which Elfgar got his lands back and Gwyfyd got control of some border territories. In 1056, Gwyfyd invaded Dohubarth and met the remaining son of Riderich, also called Gwyfyd, in battle. Gwyfyd, ruler of Gwynedd, won the battle and, luckily for us, if not for other Gwyfyd, killed his opponent. This brought both Dohubarth and Glamorgan under his control, which, paired with his gains after his reign in England, meant that Gwyfyd became the first and only fully recognised Prince of Wales. A fitting last ruler in our narrative, don't you think? Anyways, in 1058, Elfgar was again exiled due to his rival with the Godwin clan. As he did the previous time, Elfgar raised an army and joined forces with Gwyfyd. This time, however, the duo had a new member, and an unlikely one, King Magnus of Norway. They did basically what they'd done before and got Elfgar reinstated. Gwyfyd also married Elfgar's daughter, Eldgith. Elfgar himself ascended to the aldermanship of Mercia, meaning he was more powerful than ever. However, this state of affairs would not last. Elfgar died in 1062 and was succeeded by his young son, Edwin. Harold Godwinson used the opportunity of a weak Mercia to invade Wales. He burnt Gruffydd's stronghold in Rhuddlan, but, as with the last time Harold tried to invade, Gruffydd proved elusive. Harold invaded again the following year, in 1064, this time with the support of his brother Tostig, who led a fleet. Still, Gruffydd eluded them. However, the invasion did lead to the destruction of Gruffydd's hegemony over Wales. In the end, it was Gruffydd's own men who killed him. His successors, Bledian and Rydwallon, were forced to submit to Harold, and Gruffydd's hegemony was completely eroded. Dubarth was passed on to the sons of Hywel, while Glamorgan was dominated by Cardog, the son of Glamorgan Gruffydd. Well, that's a sad end to the reign of arguably our best ruler so far. At least Gruffydd could rest easy in his grave, knowing that he was able to evade Harold till the end. He was truly a great ruler, fighting innumerable battles and only ever losing one. As well as this, Gruffydd expertly played off the powerful men of England and balanced the power of the Godwin clan. In the end, his undoing was out of his control. How would he have foreseen the death of Elfgar? Well, that brings us to the end of our Welsh narrative. As with England, I think it would be good to do a recap of all that we've covered so far. Hopefully this time it will be slightly shorter. Anyways, we started off with the Romans invading Britain. Wales was at the very fringes of the Empire, but it was still heavily impacted by Rome. Arguably, the most important thing Rome left Wales was Christianity. After the Empire fell, the Anglo-Saxons invaded the formerly Roman-controlled parts of Britain. England fell to the invaders, but Wales seems to have been able to resist. However, at least parts of Wales were invaded by another people from across the sea, the Irish. Both Dyfed and Gwynedd seemed to have their roots in Irish settlers. However, the latter threw them off and became ruled by a Brittonic dynasty from modern-day Cumbria. In the 9th century, Welsh politics was shaken up by the rise of the descendants of Merfyn Finch in Gwynedd. Merfyn's son, Rhodri, conquered both Powys and Ceredigion before passing on the throne to his sons. Their collective reign saw Dyfed and the neighbouring kingdom Eustatwy be merged into Dyhubarth and brought into the dynasty. The rulers of Dyhubarth and Gwynedd would act as two separate branches of one dynasty. In the 10th century, Hywel the Good, temporarily united the branches under the hegemony of Dyhubarth. However, Hywel's reign can be seen in hindsight as a last hurrah for the dynasty. After his death, it would descend into chaos with innumerable separate minor branches competing for overall control. One figure of note during this period was Maedad ap Owain, king of Dyhubarth. Maedad attempted to emulate Hywel and temporarily united the dynasty. However, Maedad wasn't totally up to scratch and ended up being defeated and relegated to only ruling Dyhubarth. We're now into this episode, so I'm going to be really brief as you've all heard it only a few minutes ago. The 11th century saw the rise of new dynasties, with Gwynedd being conquered by Llywelyn ap Cecil and King Rhodderich of Glamorgan conquering Dyhubarth. Llywelyn's son, Gruffydd, was able to fully unite Wales and allied Elfgar, son of the Earl of Mercia. The two allies acted as a counterbalance to the Godwin clan and were able to secure each of their domains. However, in the death of Elfgar, Gruffydd was left exposed. Harold Godwinson invaded Wales, and Gruffydd could do nothing but attempt to evade him. Eventually, his downfall would come at the hands of his own men. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I've lined up a few interviews. I'm planning to do only two this time so we can get back to our narrative quicker. An extra big thank you to all of my patrons who have funded the books I got for Scotland. Luckily, I was able to get ebooks. This means no waiting for COVID-clogged Amazon deliveries. If you want to help fund the show, please consider donating to Patreon. Also, remember to rate and review the podcast. It really does help. Please also follow me on Twitter, where I'm at BritishHistPod, and join the community Discord server. By my estimation, we'll finish our pre-1066 episodes by mid-August. I'm not sure where the show will go from there. I'm not massively interested in the Middle Ages, so I might start another podcast. I'm definitely not stopping podcasting as a whole, though. However, it's not something that we have to think about now. I don't have an accurate picture of anything, really, until we finish Scotland. If you have any advice, please consider tweeting or emailing me at historyofbritishisles@gmail.com. I'm not averse to doing the Middle Ages if people really want it, so don't view anything I say here as a definite fact. Anyways, thank you all for listening, and a big thank you to my $10 Alderman tier patron, Anita Gardonyi. With that, goodbye.